Exodus 35, and we'll read verse 30. Exodus 35, verse 30. Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship, to make designs for working in gold, and in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, so as to perform in every inventive work." Let's pray together. Father, we pray for understanding and revelation of your character and who you are. And Lord, teach us your ways. And Father, we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So to give a little background of the context of this passage that we're looking at, Moses is ordered to build the tabernacle, and so he gathers all the Israelites to build the tabernacle. And back in Exodus 35, verse 10, he says, "Let every skillful man among you come and make all the Lord has commanded." And so they need to make the tents, they have to make all the draperies, they've got to make all the ornaments, the poles. They have to assemble this tabernacle. And now we get to verse 30, and Moses spotlights one person that God has filled with his Spirit. And as he fills him with his Spirit, the result is wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and in all craftsmanship to make designs for working in gold and silver and in bronze and cutting of stones, etc., to perform every inventive work, or some translations, some creative work. And so this morning I want to talk about the character of God and his creativity, that God is a creative God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He's a creator God. He creates. And the Bible says that we are made in his image. And so if God is a creator God, creative God, one who creates, and if we are made in his image, then we also have that same imprint of creativity. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I remember many years ago, 2001, I believe, I went to a Willow Creek leadership conference, and this is right after 9/11. So September 11th, 2001, the event happened, and I went to Willow Creek conference the month after in October. So this is very fresh. 9/11 is very fresh. We're still all in shock. Reverend Billy Kim came and spoke this particular session. Billy Kim is a pastor in Korea of a very large church, and I guess his claim to fame was that he translated for Billy Graham when Billy Graham was in Korea. I forget the year, but when a million people came and he preached, and Billy Kim did the translation, and so that's sort of just who he is. Anyways, he came, and he began to share about how blessed America was, that America was just so blessed. It was prosperous, abundant. He gave all these statistics compared to the rest of the world. America is this, and so I just continued to share how blessed America was. And in the midst of this service, there was elements to this service of just testimonies and art and dancing and music. And it was just done in a creative way. And so there were different elements to the service. And the final element of this worship service was that he brought out this children's choir from Korea. Each child was probably no older than 10 years old. They were dressed in their traditional Korean wardrobe, and they got on stage, about maybe 40 of these kids. And remember, this is fresh after 9/11. You know, America had been attacked, and these Korean kids began to sing a traditional Korean song, and it was moving, and it was powerful. And then they did two songs, and then the last song, the second song, was "God Bless America." God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her. And they kept singing. The words that began to resonate throughout the whole auditorium was "God bless America." And what was powerful is not just the song, but it's who's singing it to whom. It was these Korean kids who probably had no connection to America, never visited America, you know, only heard of America, doesn't have a heart or a burden for America, but they know that America was under attack. It was a time where America needed compassion and empathy and sympathy and things. And here, you know, here's a foreigner speaking of how blessed this country is and was blessing the country. And these kids began to sing "God Bless America," and there was not a single dry eye in the audience. Everyone was bawling and crying because they understood that these kids and just wanted to bless America, a foreign culture. And I remember leaving that service just being so moved, being so changed, being so blessed. I just remember being so blessed. And then I sat there in my seat thinking, wow, when was the last time my heart was moved? When was the last time I came to church and my heart was moved? And so then I began to think of all the times that I came to church and my heart was truly moved. And usually it was those times where there were elements of some creative, artistic things involved. So because if I could give you a secret from, you know, from a pastor, the messages and the sermons that we preach, they're honestly the same message. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. He is the way to heaven. Believe in him. Follow him. And that's what we try to say every single week. But the difference is there's these creative elements that we try to incorporate. And so as I begin to examine and understand that God uses the creativity that he's imprinted on people to use them, to change them, to inspire people, right? And when I was a youth pastor, a lot of my kids would say, church is boring, you know, and I was like, church is boring. And at first, I felt very insulted. You know, I was just like, oh, you know, I took that real personally. Like, oh, church is boring. That means, you know, I'm boring and all that stuff. It's like, okay, whatever. And then I just realized, and then I pointed the question back to them. Hey, is church a building? Is church a place? Who's the church? And they knew the Sunday school answer. They knew, the church is the people. And so it's like, okay, if church is the people and church is boring, then who's boring? It means you're boring. So I, you know, just kind of threw it back out there. If you think church is boring, that means you're boring. You know, if it's boring because you're boring. And so we began to value creativity because that's a characteristic of God. And so we tried to do creative elements in our church. I remember one Good Friday service, you know, I was just trying to rack my brain on how to creatively do the crucifixion, you know. We show the Passion of the Christ movie, you know, we try to do that, you know, we try to talk about the medical, you know, ways that, you know, reasons that Christ died, it was, you know, from a broken heart, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, oh, you know, everything has been done before, we've tried to communicate, so I was like, what can we do to make it creative, you know, what would stick in our kids' hearts about the crucifixion of Christ? And so I was like, let's reenact it somehow. I said, how do we reenact a crucifixion? So I got an idea. I said, okay, kids, I want you to bring all your stuffed animals from home. You know, all the stuffed animals that you want to get rid of, and at least one stuffed animal that is precious to you, you know, that maybe you grew up with, maybe you still sleep with, I don't know. Just bring in, you know, some stuffed animal. And they had no idea what we were going to do. But here's the idea. They came and they brought their stuffed animals, and I had this huge wooden plank. And I had a couple hammers, and I had some nails. And I said, today's the day that Jesus died on the cross, that the human hands nailed him to the cross. And what we're going to do is we're going to take your precious stuffed animals, and we're going to nail them to the cross. They begin to freak out. They're like, this guy's insane. This guy's crazy, right? And so we took these stuffed animals, and I think there's the first one was like Winnie the Pooh. I mean, come on. Oh, man. And so, and remember, I had never done this before. This is all my mind. And so I was like, okay, we're going to crucify Winnie. So he took a nail and just stuck it in Winnie's heart. And I didn't think it was going to be that hard, but man, it was so hard. I couldn't do it. But just out of courage, I just did it just to be the example. And so I took the hammer and I took the nail and I pounded it into Winnie's heart. There's a huge collective scream and gasp from all my kids. And I said, everyone get in line, get your animal, and crucify him to the cross or whatever. I thought this was going to be like a 30-minute exercise. Man, this took like hours. This took like an hour and a half, I think. And as each kid got up there, they began to cry. Over stuffed animals. I mean, come on, guys. It's just a stuffed animal. And so they had attached their love and things like that. And so each person went up there and they couldn't do it. And they would do little taps like, right? And the nail wouldn't go through the material. And so I said, you got to do it harder. And so, you know, they tried, and everyone's weeping, and everyone's, and then we have this whole display all on this one wooden long plank of like 40 stuffed animals just crucified to the cross. I said, this is what our sin did. We crucified our Jesus, our Savior, to the cross. And they had sort of a visual representation of our sin. And I don't know. I'll never forget that day. I don't think they ever forgot that day. Another thing we try to do on Easter is, you know, the U2 song, It's a Beautiful Day. It's a beautiful day, didn't it, right? And so after the message, I would, you know, say, Christ is risen, you know, and as we're climaxing to that last point, Christ is risen, you know, I had one of our volunteers just lower the drapes in our worship room, and so that the room was completely dark. And, you know, during the time, it was like, it's a, you know, Christ is risen. And then at that climax, all of a sudden, the song, It's a Beautiful Day, boom. And then all the lights would go on, like it would be blaring, glaring. And it was just this idea that the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and Christ is risen, and the glory of God, and, you know, the lights are blinding, and you have this, it's a beautiful day, because it's a beautiful day, right? Christ is risen. And so those kinds of things. And so we try to use creativity to demonstrate God, because we have a message. We have a gospel message. And we need to sort of communicate that in the best way that we can. And if the world looks at the message and thinks that it's boring, then there's something wrong as Christians, that we're not presenting it in the way that God desires. And you look at, if you consider God and you look at the natural beauty of the world, and you look at the mountains and you look at the valleys and the rivers and the oceans and the beaches, right? Who created the sunsets and the lights and the colors and things? And look at all the species of animals, right? There's like 35,000 species of beetles, and there's like, you know, 145,000,000, you know, billion, gajillion, you know, species of coral reef and things like that, and 230,000 species of flowers, and just, it's just 4,000 species of mammals. It's just amazing at the diversity and the creativity. And you look at our galaxy and the Milky Way and the stars and you know, 200 billion suns and 125 billion galaxies in the universe. I mean, this is incredible that our God is. Right? God created man in his image. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But creativity is not just limited to, like, artistic ability. It doesn't mean you have to be a painter. It's, creativity is essential to thinking, to way you do things, thinking out of the box. One time we had a student, we called him Chairman, because he was the one who set up chairs. And in fact, as funny as it sounds, he had a passion for chairs, to setting up chairs. He had a passion for it. In fact, his passion was so strong, he wouldn't let anybody else touch the chairs. You know, he was passionate about, and he was really creative. Like, he would set up in different formations. You know, he would do like, five rows of 10, and then triangle, and then you know, diamond shapes, and, you know, semicircles and crescent. I mean, he was really creative in that way. But our message is timeless and unchanging, and the method of communicating our message and the application of life, I think if we understand the creativity of God, that we can do that. One of my favorite shows on TV is SportsCenter, and if I were to choose watching SportsCenter over the local news sportscast, I would choose SportsCenter because of the creativity it does. I don't know if there used to be a New York Yankees baseball player called Scott Brosius. Brosius is his last name. And so the sportscasters in their creativity would say, oh, there's a long, deep fly ball from Scott, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I thought it was pretty funny. Anyways, and then there's a football player named on the Pittsburgh Steelers, if some of you, well, most of you probably don't know. But anyways, his name was, he was Samoan, and his name was Chris Fu Matu Maafala, right? Say that five times fast. Chris Fu Matu Maafala, and Samoan guy. And so there was a highlight there, and he would, you know, so the sportscaster would be like, and there's a 2-yard touchdown run by Chris Fu Mata Maafala. That's a bad Maafala. Anyways, probably an American joke. In any case, you know, somebody better call UPS, because that boy got some ups. You'll get it tomorrow. In any case, there's this creativity that sort of engages people, and that's sort of the things that I feel like God is at least, it's a value of mine that I just feel like demonstrates a character of God. You see here in Exodus 35 that the Spirit of the Lord filled him in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all craftsmanship and skill to make designs, designing. God is a designer. He's designed the world, the galaxies, the universe. He's designed our lives. He's a designer, working in gold and silver and in bronze and cutting in stones for settings and the carving of wood so as to perform every inventive work, creativity, creativeness, to create is to make something that wasn't, to create. I remember when I was in Las Vegas and, I was going down the Las Vegas Strip and seeing just all the billboards and the neon lights and the flashing marquees. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, this is amazing. This is spectacular. But then this thought also came to my mind. It's like, wow, these people in Las Vegas don't really have much to say, but they sure know how to say it. They don't have much to say, but what they do have to say, the sin and the sex and the pervertedness, they don't really have much of substance to say, but they truly know how to say it, how to communicate it, how to display it with all of these neon lights and billboards and signs and just the idea of, and I look at the church and it's like, we have everything to say. We have the greatest message to say, but we don't know how to say it. We don't know how to communicate it. We don't know how to broadcast it. Las Vegas was just like a total opposite of what I saw the church communicating, right? They with all excellence and with all enthusiasm and with all everything in was able to communicate this idea of sin and perversion. And here the church has the greatest message for the world, and we have no idea how to creatively communicate it. And so as a pastor, as a church leader, this is sort of my passion, to be able to communicate the gospel in creative ways, to be able to engage the hearts of people, to engage the minds of people, because God is a creative God. Now, when I was younger, if you were to ask me, what did I want to be when I grew up? I wanted to be an architect. It's because I looked at buildings and stadiums, and I thought to myself, how do they do that? How does someone design a space where people feel something? Where you go into a stadium and you look around and you say, like, how did they know that they should have 5 bathrooms over there? Or how did they make this walkway? Or even parking structures, right? Parking structures and just the flow of things and just the how it's like a maze, but somehow the car gets out. I'm like, how do they do that? I want to do that. But what kind of prevented me from doing that is I thought that I was not creative enough. I thought that if I built a house, it would just be a square box, and it would be just really boring, and I just didn't feel like in my mind that I had creativity and things like that. But then as I study, sort of God and throughout the scriptures, that God is a creative God and we're made in his image. And then I begin to see in other people their creativeness, and through the creativeness, it speaks God into me. As I look through nature and I look through the creativeness of God throughout nature and the mountains and the trees and the forests and the colors and the lights, and I'm thinking, wow, this is how God communicates his preeminence. This is how God creates his majesty. This is how God creates who he is. I was like, wow, and we're made in his image, then maybe God has given us skills and talents and creativity to give to the world, right? You look at artists in this world, there's so many images of violence and sex and perversion. And maybe God has given us creative gifts to, instead of reverse those images, those negative images of violence and sex and perversion, and into the glory of God, into things that are uplifting the soul, that can penetrate through your hearts and say, God is a good God. God loves you. Where you can see images created by artists and say, wow, God is an amazing God. And so my desire is to look at the scripture this morning and say, wow, God, you fill them with the Spirit, with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and in all craftsmanship, and in cutting of stones for settings and carving wood, and so to perform every inventive work. was giving a talk to a youth group about creativity and they were so inspired. And so the following year when I went back, there was tremendous change, and they started to increase the value of creativity into their church. And man, the next time I spoke there, the results and the fruits of people understanding the gospel and getting saved and things like that was just was doublefold, was incredible. And I was like, wow. They got to see a broader, bigger picture of our God, because our God is big. Our God is not dull. Our God is not boring, but he is creative and amazing. And so I just want to sort of encourage those of you who are maybe are like me, don't think you're creative at all. I don't think I'm creative. I'm not artsy. You know, I can't draw. I can't do any things. But creativity is not just fine arts. Creativity is the way you think. The creativity is how you deal with people. Creativity is just the way you display God's character. And so I want us to meditate on that aspect of God's character. May God inspire to use your gifts to be creative, to glorify him. Let's honor God with the Spirit of God. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I pray that you would open the lid to release the imprint of the image of God in our lives. God, just begin to release minds that are creative, that think differently, that sees from a heaven's perspective and not just the limitations of this world. That can see that, God, you are sovereign and that you are big. And God, I pray that it would begin to stir our hearts. That we look to the heavens and we look to the skies, and it speaks of you. God, we just pray that you would release that today.
Give me one pure and holy passion. obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you, to know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in the truth. This world
Let's take this time to pray and intercede, and let's prepare our hearts to pray and ask. Just be silent for a moment before we go into our intercessory prayer time. But just in your own heart, just begin to invite the Holy Spirit to fill you, to give you a heart of compassion, to expand your heart, to be bigger. Ask the Lord to expand your heart to be bigger. Now let's pray for those who are sick with cancer, and let's ask the Lord, out of the overflow of compassion in our heart and empathy, let's just begin to lift them up in prayer and ask the Lord to be gracious, to be merciful, and to bring healing quickly. And so let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for salvation for those who are sick and ill, and let's ask God to open their eyes and take the veil off their eyes. Let's ask the Lord that they would come to have a relationship with Jesus, and so let's pray for healing over their illnesses too. So let's pray. Pray for those with other sicknesses and illnesses. Let's ask the Lord to heal them now. Thank you. Let's lift up those who are looking for employment. And as you notice, there are a few names that have come off the list. And so praise the Lord for that. And so let's continue to press on and ask and intercede on their behalf for God truly answers and hears our prayers. So let's pray for jobs and openings. Pray for our mission focus this morning, and today we're going to be praying for North Korea, South Korea, and Japan. Let's pray for Chris Kim and for the community there of believers, and let's pray for the political situation there. Let's pray for South Korea, and let's lift up Japan, and let's intercede for that area of the world today. Pray for our SP ministries, for intercessory prayer team, for the well, for Cascade, our inner healing, and let's pray for hospitality ministries, welcoming and Brista. Let's pray for more volunteers for these ministries and for ministers for well and Cascade. So let's lift them up in prayer and cover them. Pray for Hong Kong Korean Church, for Pastor Choi, for spiritual growth, for unity. Let's ask the Lord to continue to use them. And we intercede for them because they are our mother church. SP came out of Hong Kong Korean Church. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Father, we thank you for our lives. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you that you have a plan for us today, and you have a plan for our lives. And Lord, I just pray that we would know more of you. And God, so we want to give you our first fruits of the day. We dedicate this time, and we offer our sacrifice of praise to you. And Lord, we just want to be with you this morning, God. Lord, I just pray that you would just begin to draw close to us today. And Lord, we just pray that your word would dwell in our hearts, God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.